Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Jen Oshman. Jen is a writer, a podcaster, a pastor's wife, and mom of four daughters. She has served as a missionary and a church planter for over two decades on three continents. She currently resides in Colorado, where she is the director of women's ministry at Redemption Parker. Jen has written a book called Welcome, Loving Your Church by Making Space for Everyone. So I asked Jen to join me today to talk about how we as pastor's wives can help contribute to a culture of welcome for anyone who comes into our church. Here, friends, is my conversation with Jen Oshman. I'm so excited to welcome Jen Oshman back to the podcast. Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. This is sweet.
I'm excited to talk to you again. Last time we talked about the big topic for pastor's wife's friendship. So If you haven't listened to that, listeners, I would say go back and find Jen Oshman's podcast episode on friendship because it was really good. But we're going to talk about something else today. But before we dive in, would you introduce yourself again to my listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jen Oshman, and I am indeed a pastor's wife. In fact, we're about to have our 25th anniversary.
Wait. 25th yes. anniversary at your church?
No. Wedding.
Wedding. I was like, I thought y'all just planted a church. It's not 25. Okay.
No, the church is about to turn 7. It's maturing. It's an elementary school aged child yes. at this point. So Mark and I married while he was in seminary, finished seminary and headed to the mission field. And we were church planters in Japan and the Czech Republic and now Colorado. And so in addition to being his wife and ministering in my local church, I also write on the side and do things like this with you, podcasting.
Yes. And you have written a book this is why I wanted to bring you on, because you've written a book and it's not a huge book. It's easily digestible. A book called Welcome, Loving Your Church by Making Space for Everyone. I love that title. So I'd love for you to tell me why you felt strongly about writing this book.
Yeah. So this book is in a series called Loving Your Church or Love Your Church. And so each book in the series is on a different way to love your church. And so mine focuses on welcome or hospitality. And I think that I have a particular passion for this topic because I did not grow up in a Christian home. And actually neither did my husband. So we both, you know, like he grew up going to a Catholic church on Easter and Christmas. And I didn't grow up going to church until I was about 9 or 10. My parents divorced and my mom started looking for a church. And we were invited to one by a girl who played on my soccer team. Her dad was a pastor and they invited us to church. And so we stepped into this church and thank God in his providence and kindness was a Bible believing church, you know, that preached the word and shared the gospel. But we stepped into a setting where it felt like, and I think it's probably objectively true, everybody was an intact family. You know, there was moms and dads and kids in every row. And it was a Dutch Reformed church of all things, that I'm not Dutch. And we stuck out in every way. But that church welcomed us so affectionately and intimately from day one. And I ended up hearing the gospel and getting saved there. So I think I have a unique passion for it because I grew up feeling like an outsider to the church and very much familiar with how that feels to not be sort of one of the, you know, one in the club. And I want people to be able to come into all of our churches and just feel immediately warmly welcomed and just the embrace of God's people.
Yes. I'd love you to share what you remember about what they did that was so inviting and welcoming to you.
Yeah. You know, well, I distinctly remember, especially a Sunday school teacher. We had Sunday school and church. And my Sunday school teacher was an old man, Mr. Tilsley. And he was so kind. I mean, he literally took me by the hand. You know, I didn't know anything about the Bible, any Bible characters' names. I was a blank slate. And he was teaching his class the Lord's Prayer. And he just worked with me week in and week out to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And he treated me like one of his own children from the very beginning, not annoyed or inconvenienced by my lack of understanding or awareness, but truly just took me in like kind of like I was a granddaughter to him. And that's really how everybody in the church just treated us. They invited us for dinner. Come on over. Come do this. You know, people would, some of the men in the congregation would help my mom with projects. They just treated us like one of them, even though we clearly were not one of them. They embraced us like family.
Uh-huh. How does that, so now as a church planter, a church planting wife, how does that inform how you interact with maybe someone who comes into your church that we would maybe say, quote unquote, is an outsider?
Mm-hmm. I think it has huge ramifications for how I see everybody who walks through the doors of our church. You know, there's kind of an immediate response to that. And that is that I want to make sure everybody feels welcome. You know, you maybe saw Rebecca McLaughlin's tweet years ago that kind of went viral and it resurfaces from time to time, but it's a conversation she had with her husband. And the crux of it was an alone person on Sunday morning is an emergency.
Uh-huh,
and so, mm-hmm. Yeah, it just really keeps making the rounds because it's so good. And so I think it is crucial. You know, I feel like, yeah, that alone person is an emergency. I need to stop what I'm doing. It's urgent in that moment for me to go toward that person who's alone or new, or I can tell, you know, is kind of an outsider on that morning. So it informs me immediately in that way as a greeter, you know, but welcome is so much more than greeting too. And so I think it informs me also to really genuinely go toward people and welcome them, not just to Sunday morning, but maybe to my home after church, maybe to another small group leader's home, maybe to a women's Bible study. Like, how can I take that extra step to go beyond Sunday morning and welcome them, at least initially somehow into my life and into my circle?
Yeah, that's really good. I'm passionate about this as well. And I think some of that stems from church planting, but some of it also stems from visiting churches. And I remember this specifically. One summer we were given the gift of a sabbatical. And so we left our city and we went to a different church every week. And every single week I felt what it was like. Like I remember just driving to the church, starting to feel nervous. What do we do? Where do we go? What do we do? And then going in and having the experience of being an outsider, it was so helpful for me to feel that, because sometimes we would go in and literally not a single person would say hello to us. We didn't know where to go. We had small children at the time. We didn't know where to take them. And so then we would go to a different place and we would have the opposite experience where people helped. They noticed us. They acknowledged that we were there, that we were new. They helped answer our questions about where to take our kids. And just the difference in feeling of that, I felt like I could relax and I could actually worship and I was with my brothers and sisters versus when I'm not being greeted. It just felt like it was hard for me to settle into the service and to worship and to meet with God because I felt so self-conscious. And so I think that sometimes this can be hard for pastors' wives because we don't often have the experience of being the new person. And so I would love for you to just kind of speak to what are some simple, let's talk about Sunday morning, for example. Mm-hmm. What are some simple but really important things that you would encourage us to think about as pastors' wives?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm with you. We also had a sabbatical a couple years back and had the same exact experience. And so, I mean, if you and I, as women who have known the Lord for decades now, walked with him, been a part of church culture full time for decades, and we feel nervous or out of place when we walk into a church, how much more, you know, somebody who's not in full time ministry or who's never been to church or who rarely goes to church, like, it's a hard thing for them to do. You know, one thing I share in the book, Welcome, is like, imagine yourself going into a context that you've never been in before, you know, maybe a motorcycle gang clubhouse or something, you know, where you're just like, I don't know that culture. I don't know their language, you know, just, I know that's a silly example, but something that's so far out where you're like, yeah, I've never crossed that threshold.
Yeah.
What would you want somebody to do if you had to cross that threshold? You would want a good friend to like come along and take your hand, yes, right?
Yes, so, just to make you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not afraid. Like people right. are afraid to go to church the way you and I might be afraid to go to a motorcycle club gang house, you know, their house. But anyway, I know that's a silly example, but it just kind of gets the creative juices going. So I think we just really do have to put ourselves in their shoes and imagine what that must feel like. And I do think part of this, Christine, this is kind of a, I don't know, it feels tangential, but I think it's really actually central. And that is that I think we have lost, in general, in the American church, a vision for our primary family being the family of God. Mm. You know, our primary eternal siblings, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles. Jesus tells us that is the church. It's not actually our biological family or our, you know, nuclear family, but his primary family, our primary family, is those who walk with Jesus, who follow him. He tells us that in the Gospels. So I do think that maybe, and I know this is a fine line. And so, you know, especially for us as pastors' wives, we do have to have eyes for our kids. We do have to, you know, we are their one and only mom. We are our husband's one and only wife. Those relationships are very important. But sometimes I think we can forsake the broader family in an effort to maybe overprotect or overcompensate somehow for our nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, everyone in the pews on Sunday morning who follows Jesus is my brother and sister. So I think, you know, I know that it is a burden and it's important for us on Sunday mornings to be able to corral our own children and make sure they feel connected and not forgotten and not second or whatever. And that's, I validate that. I'm not speaking against that in any way. But could we also have some imagination for moving toward other people in our congregation with the same urgency mm-hmm. and importance? So, mm-hmm. you know, one really practical thing, and I think this is kind of countercultural for church families, but one really practical thing that I know from people telling me, it goes very far, is sitting with other people on Sunday morning. And not that it's wrong for you to sit in the front row with your husband. That's okay too. I'm not saying that's a sin by any means. But what if sometimes or all the time you looked around that room and saw who was sitting alone and instead went and sat with that alone person, or just mingled amongst the crowd and made sure during welcome time, you know, you're welcoming people, you're making a beeline at the end of the sermon for that woman or man that came in alone just to say, hello, I've never seen you here before. I'm glad you're here. How can I help? You know, it's not so much like here's 10 things to do, but it's almost like putting a new pair of glasses on, like a new lens for seeing the people that are around you as mm-hmm. primary and important, not like, okay, I'll get to that later. But no, this is actually my family right here.
Mm-hmm. I have so many follow-up questions that come to mind. I think that's really good, really good. And I have seen that and experienced that in my own church planting experience, that I'm thankful that God has kind of given me that same vision for church family being family. I'd love to hear about how do you can't do that with everyone, right? And so how do you kind of know where the Lord's directing you in terms of bringing people further into your life?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We are limited. And there, I would hate for any pastor's wife to hear this and feel like, oh my gosh, now I have more burdens to bear on Sunday morning. Now I have more to do. You know, I don't want anyone to feel like that, you know, they're falling short and they've got to do better and try harder. Because we are limited creatures. And so we have to walk in that limited, in our limitations. But I think there's a few things that you can do, as with anything, where you just are trying to discern where is God moving. And I think maybe we go into Sunday morning prayerfully. My Sunday mornings are like yours. They're crazy. And there's probably some yelling involved and apologies that need to be made. I'm not saying my Sunday mornings are pristine, but maybe even on Saturday or any other day of the week where you like really think about, okay, Sunday morning, what am I going to do to have eyes to see? And so just going in intentionally, I think kind of changes everything. You know, Lord, show me show me who you have for me on Sunday morning. Uh-huh. And, you know, just trying to keep in step with the Spirit that way. I think it's also key that we be fostering this kind of environment in our church bodies. So the women that we're mentoring and impacting, or the leaders in our church, the staff, the lay leaders, you know, are we sort of shaping this amongst us where mm-hmm. everybody's going into Sunday morning, praying for the Lord to show them with eyes to see? And then you're like, okay, yeah, it's not all on me, because I know those 12 other people are also doing this. And it's quite honestly very contagious. This way of living on Sunday morning is really catches on and ripples throughout the whole congregation. So I think it's going in intentionally. It's going in prayerfully, literally just whispering in prayer to the Lord. Lord, show me, do you want me to go toward her? Do you want me to go toward that family? And doing it, you know, like if you're like, well, I don't know, probably err on the side of, yeah, go toward them and just starting that conversation. And then we all know, you know, what conversations are like when somebody is really eager and hungry to connect. And when somebody is like, please don't talk to me anymore. Yeah.
Yes.
You know that feeling, uh-huh. like, and that happens to me all the time. And so if I can tell somebody is really hungry to connect, I might give them my phone number right then and say, hey, if you need something, text me this week. Or, hey, do you want to go to lunch right now? You know, or I lead women's Bible study on Tuesday night. Do you want to come? You know, that kind of like personal invitation to follow up right away.
Yeah.
But if they feel a little bit resistant, then usually what I'll say is, you know, our church website, you know, that's probably how they found us. You know, our church website, you can easily find me on there. If there's something that you need or want to follow up, text me on the website. You can find my contact info there. And that's a less pressure way, kind of the ball's in their court. They know where to find me if they want to.
That's really helpful. I also find it helpful when people want to connect with, you know, maybe after I've learned a little of their story, to connect them to someone else, mm-hmm. another leader, another, you know, maybe somebody that I would trust to kind of take mm-hmm. them and connect them. I find that to be helpful. So it's not all on me to kind of carry all these relationships, but helping them meet other people as well. So I know for some women listening, Jen, they're kind of thinking, that all sounds really good, and I want to be that person who does that, but I'm really scared to go up to somebody I don't know mm-hmm. and start a conversation. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we can just even have you give us simple language of mm-hmm. how to start that conversation with someone, especially if they seem very closed off or shy or unsure. What could we say when we meet them?
Yeah, that is hard. And I mean, I still feel that, you know, this is like sort of my way of life on Sunday mornings, but even with so much practice and habit, it's still scary for me sometimes. So I get that. I think that it's really just well received. You know, first of all, they did come in your doors, right? Like, you're not tracking her down in the aisles of Walmart, you know? So they've already made it known they want to be in that space, or somebody brought them or something. For some reason, they made the choice to come in. So it's good to remember that. And then I think you can always just approach somebody and say, hi, I don't think I've seen you here before. Maybe you have been coming and I just didn't notice, but I wanted to just say, hi, my name is Jen. And that's really all
it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. You know, hi, my name is Jen. You know, I just wanted to say hi, welcome.
Yeah.
And then they usually say their names too. And if they don't want to stick around, they're like, nice to meet you, bye. Uh-huh. Or they'll say, you know, how long have you been going here? And then you have the awkward moment where you're like, well, I'm the pastor's wife.
Yes.
It is what it is. Like, we got to own it. You know, that's just who we are. So that can lead to some funny moments too. Or they're like, oh, good. So you know what's going on. Let me ask you these 10 follow-up questions too.
But
I don't think we need to overthink it. You know, like sometimes it's like, just get out of your own head and walk up to somebody and say, hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you came this morning. My name's Jen.
Yeah. Be willing to be awkward.
It's just going to be awkward and that's okay.
And so I have said some really stupid things at times.
For sure.
Really stupid things where I'm like, oh, I can't take that back. But I tried.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's nice too, like if you do have this environment on your staff and amongst your leaders, it's very helpful because, for example, just this week, there was a family sitting in our sanctuary that I thought was brand new. I literally had never seen them before. And so I asked a pastor next to me, like, are they new? And he's like, no, they've been coming for like a year. In my mind, I'm like, you're wrong. No, they haven't. So I go up to an elder's wife in the back and I'm like, hey, I've never seen those people. And she too said, yeah, they've been coming for a year. So I just missed this family, but I was about to go up to them and say, hey, welcome, you know, and they would have been like, hey, we've been here for a year, yeah, which would have been fine. We would have recovered. No big deal. But there's that vibe in the back of our sanctuary where the elders, elders' wives, pastors, they all know, like, share this intel on people coming in and out so we can all make sure we're greeting them. Like, yeah, do you know them? Are they new? Should I go up to them? Have you gone up to them? Has anybody gone up to them? You know, and we have then dozens of pairs of eyes on newcomers, not just mine or not just the pastors.
That's good. Well, I wonder too about people who have been coming. They're not new, but maybe they don't quite fit in the demographic of the church that God's building. So let's say we have a bunch of young families and then we have a single woman who comes in and she's committed. She's there. How do we help someone like that feel a sense of welcome, even though they might not feel like they fit, or there might not be yet in a young church plant a specific place for them that we can direct them? How can we relate to that kind of person?
Yeah, well, probably like your church plant, that is literally our church plant. I mean, tons of young families, tons and tons of young families. And just now at year 7, we are finally getting some older empty nest couples. I know. And we're just so, so thankful. But it's been 7 years in the making, you know, and we've had a few. We actually have had a couple single women who are older who've stuck it out this whole time. And I thank God for them. And you know what? To be honest, I am typically kind of just blunt with those people and say, hey, I know this is not your peer group. And you are making a sacrifice by being committed to us. Thank you. We need you. And seeking them out to say, hey, could you be a member of this small group? Could you, you know, what's something that you love to do? Could you host that? Or could I host you at my house doing that for our group? Like, for example, we have this wonderful single older woman in our congregation, and she's very crafty. She has this one specific craft that she does. And so we've said, hey, would you teach that to our youth group? We'll have a youth group girls night. We'll have a Galentine's night, and you can teach that to the youth group girls. Or can you do that with our women? And I just think we don't have to overthink it. You know, what's something that you love, and how can I rope you into this setting where you can do that with us, or you can show that to us? And then the relationships grow and evolve. But I do think as we're trying to diversify our congregations as young church plants, we do just have to sort of call out what is awkward and just say, thank you for committing to this family, even though I know it's hard. We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah, that's really, really good. We had those, when we started getting our empty nesters and, you know, all that, I had prayed for that. And so I would tell them, I have prayed for you to come because we need your wisdom. We need what you bring. And you may not have a lot of peers, but the Lord's going to use you here. And he did. He did, for sure.
Yes. Yes.
One of the things I think that comes up for, and I learned this early on, so maybe younger pastors' wives are kind of experiencing this, is before you are a pastor's wife, you go to church and you circle up with your friends. A place where you see them and you you hang out with them, and your small group is that or whatever. But when you become a pastor's wife, you realize Sunday mornings look different, and it's okay to say hi to your friends, but really that's not as much the emphasis. The emphasis is more basically, it's on everyone, anyone that the Lord brings to you, even if it's somebody you might not necessarily have an affinity toward or relate well with. But I think that can be a challenge of, how do I navigate my good friends on Sunday morning when I want to have an eye for outsiders too?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I experienced this just on Sunday. I think it comes up all the time. And I think this is also part of just building that culture within your church, where everybody has the understanding that we do need to make a priority for the newcomers, because we're going to see each other at small group or Bible study, or we're going to text 100 times tomorrow. But this is my one shot in making sure this person feels welcomed. And so it feels weird. I mean, one, you have to die to yourself because selfishly, I want to sit there and drink my coffee with my friends and laugh and just have a good time that morning. So there is this element of choosing what's harder. But then there's also this element of being okay. Offending is the wrong word, but like it feels rude to your friends to say, you know, pause this conversation. I got to go talk to these other people. I'm picking them over you. But if you've already set that culture or set that tone, it's really only hard and awkward to do that the first few times to your friends where you go, I love the story. I love that thought. I want to follow up on it, but I see a new face. I need to quickly go just welcome them. I'll be right back, you know? And before you know it, they're doing that too. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing that all of a sudden realizing. Yeah. And so, I think it's the only way really to combat like a clickiness on Sunday morning where our backs turn, you know, our backs might be to the newcomer because they're turned in, you know, our fronts are turned inward toward each other and where the whole group just kind of unfolds and turns their faces toward the entrance or toward the community. And it does catch on, but it does feel clunky and awkward at first, but I think it's so key. And that's really how our churches grow. And it's how those who aren't in the family become part of the family. And those who don't believe feel the warmth and embrace of Christ as we, his body, embrace them. I mean, it's really, really important. This isn't, like I say, this is not greeting. This is welcoming an outsider in, welcoming a non-believer into the family of Jesus. This is plays a key role in that.
Biblical hospitality, basically.
It's huge. Yeah.
I think it's as far as the friendship question goes, I've had conversations with my friends before where I've kind of said, like, I know it's kind of awkward on Sunday mornings and I'm kind of on or, you know, and I'm not apologizing for that, but just like, I know that that can be hard for you as my friend. And so that they really kind of learn to just be like, hey, like maybe wave from as they're leaving, like I'll talk to you later. But they knew and know that that's not the time for the friendship.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm also thinking about people in our churches. You know, you do a podcast where you talk a lot about cultural moments that are happening from politics to all kinds of things. And so I think that can be a really tricky line to walk in our churches where we are welcoming to those who think differently than us on second-handed or open-handed issues. How do you do that?
Yeah. Gosh, we could fill up another half hour on that, couldn't we? But I think, I mean, having planted right before, you know, a couple years before COVID, going through the horrific year that was 2020 and then surviving it and living beyond showed me in a fresh new way how essential it is to believe that the gospel unifies. You know, we have to believe, especially as leaders and people who are setting the tone for conversations in the lobby, conversations at small group, the way we carry ourselves on social media. We have to believe in the depths of our soul that the blood of Jesus covers a wide spectrum of opinions and beliefs about secondary and tertiary issues. And I have to love my siblings more than I love that issue. And that has been tested in me over the last several years. And I have failed miserably multiple times and had to apologize and repent and confess. Yeah, I believed that that issue was more important than the gospel, or that it trumped the gospel, that it was bigger than it. And that's wrong. And I've just had to repent from that. And so, you know, coming into 2024, I now believe this, I have to cling to the gospel and to my primary eternal family in Christ more fiercely than any cultural moment. And what I have found, and I'm guessing you have found this too, it's actually true. I can actually have very deep unity with my brothers and sisters with whom I disagree sharply about some political issues. And that has been so sweet. I'm shocked by how sweet those friendships are when we really see things quite differently. But we're both saved by Jesus and therefore family forever. And there's a sweet love there. And so I pray that for our churches this year. I hope we can love each other well.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And that's something I think just closing with what I was going to say is what's the theme that's coming up from what you're saying and what I believe to be very true is that we as pastors' wives, we are leaders in the church and we have we set in a lot of ways the culture, especially relational culture. So we have a part to play in this. We can affect the direction and the culture, the DNA of a welcoming environment where we are going toward the outsider, going toward others versus circling up, as you said, and facing inward. And so I think it's so important, but I just want to leave the last word with you where what would you say to a pastor's wife who maybe she's in a new church and she's thinking, this is a very unwelcome culture. I don't even feel welcome here. What would you say to her about starting to change that culture?
I think that she can have a pretty immediate and strong impact on it by simply maybe asking people to come over. Like, what if you just asked some of the staff members, come on over, and you just started to practice that hospitality one person at a time? Not that you have to welcome the whole congregation in on week one, you know, but if it's a community where they're used to sort of keeping to themselves, one invitation can honestly change with a ripple effect the entire culture of your church. And so I would say, walk in your limitations, acknowledge, you know, I can only make one relationship at a time or have one family over for dinner at a time. That's okay. Trust the Spirit's going to move through that. And there will be really sweet consequences from that. But start with what you have, you know, do what you can with what you've got, one invitation at a time.
That's so good. This has been such a good, helpful conversation, Jen. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.